Welcome to Generations, friends. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor, but the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, so is Dave Buhner. We homeschool our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, and we broadcast from my basement because we're concerned about the world in which we're raising our children and the direction that it's taking. Hey, 37% of children born without fathers, a virtual tyranny rising in America, homeschooling threatened in this country right now. And meanwhile, you've got the leading candidates for President of the United States, including one called Barack Hussein Obama. And I can't get off of this topic, Dave, because Barack Obama just came out and said the Sermon on the Mount justifies the practice of abortion and homosexuality. Dave, I had a hard time reading that out of the Sermon on the Mount, but he said it's much clearer than Romans or even Leviticus, which, by the way, he rejects because, you know, all that Old Testament stuff doesn't apply. All that stuff on polygamy and that stuff on homosexuality and sodomy and bestiality, that stuff doesn't apply today.
Yeah, he doesn't like going with that obscure passage in Romans, that kind of nebulous passage that maybe condemns sodomy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's trying to make the Word of God basically aligned to his agenda. And by the way, he is the pro-infanticide candidate running right now. Rick Santorum, the previous senator from Pennsylvania, just put an article into the Philadelphia Inquirer in which he calls the elephant in the room Obama's pro-infanticide position. Remember, folks, about 7 years ago, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act sailed through the U.S. Senate unanimously. Even Clinton, Ted Kennedy, John Kerry, they all voted and agreed that a mother's right to choose stopped at her baby's delivery. The bill also passed overwhelmingly in the House. NARAL, that's the National Abortion Rights Action League, was neutral on the bill. Apparently, abortion enthusiasts publicly agreed that fighting this bill would appear extreme for them. But there was one man in the state of Illinois that stood strong against the act and pressed very, very hard for the fourth trimester abortions, that is infanticide, and that was Senator Barack Obama. By the way, the bill did pass in 2005 after Obama left, but three times in 2001, 2002, 2003, three times Barack Obama stood against the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. In 2003, as chairman of the Senate committee there in Illinois, to which BAIPA was sent, Obama stopped it from even getting a hearing, shelving it to die, much like babies were being shelved to die in Illinois hospitals and abortion clinics. Folks, every pastor in America needs to stand up right now, I think, in the pulpit and say Barack Obama is one of the most evil men that has ever walked the face of the earth, and he is evil for his support of infanticide. Now, my question for this program right now is this. Should a pastor do this? Dave, the reason I'm bringing this up, you know, is because I stood up and said this in the pulpit at our church. What, a couple of weeks ago, I referred to Barack Obama for his pro-infanticide position. And I effectively called him an evil man. I don't know if I used those words, but I did that. And I think every other pastor in America ought to do the same thing.
Well, I think every pastor ought to bring everything under the feet of Jesus. That is, he's the sovereign king. That is, he's king over politics, and he's king over the spiritual realm. He's king over the physical realm. And when we try and carve out some area of life, in this case politics, the civil magistrate, and say that is not under the lordship of Jesus, we have just made something else God. And I think that is forbidden clearly in the Ten Commandments. The first commandments suffice. They say you shall have no other gods. If God is not the God of politics, then he's not God. My God cares about who is the king. In fact, he turns the heart of the king which way he desires.
The argument today, folks, is every pastor in America needs to stand up from the pulpit and say anybody who supports infanticide like Barack Obama is an evil man and he ought to be rejected wholesale by anybody. Well, now, here's the question. Can we do this? Can a pastor do this? Well, I guess there are two questions here, Dave. What does God say and what do the lawyers say? It turns out, let's talk about the lawyers first, then we'll go to God later. The Alliance Defense Fund has issued this 8-page paper. It's a letter to pastors and churches in America to let us know. It's called Politics in the Pulpit. It's to let us know what we can and cannot do legally in America from the pulpit. And he's got a list of all these different things. The pastor can endorse political candidates. The pastor can make financial contributions to political candidates. He can give in-kind donations. The pastor can make independent expenditures in favor of or against political candidates. He can contribute to PACs, et cetera, et cetera. The church cannot do any of these particular things. So they distinguish between what the pastor can do and what the church can do. Now, they make a distinction between issue advocacy and direct advocacy. Again, folks, I'm not saying this is the legal truth in America. I'm just quoting what Alliance Defense Fund says. Now, the Alliance Defense Fund says there is a difference between issue advocacy and direct advocacy. For example, it's still okay to say that Herod is an evil guy because he supports sixth trimester abortions down in Bethlehem. Okay, that's still okay to do. By the way, almost every tyrant out there, Dave, from the beginning of time, has made it a habit to kill babies. They just absolutely love killing babies, as does Barack Obama and King Herod back in Bethlehem in the time of Jesus' birth. Now, that's issue advocacy. When you stand up and you say, Herod is an evil guy because he kills babies in Bethlehem, Dave, you have just engaged in issue advocacy, and apparently that's still okay. But direct advocacy is using words like elect, don't elect, support, defeat, etc., etc. So that's apparently where you cross the line. The Internal Revenue Service also will come after you, apparently, according to this article from the Alliance Defense Fund, if you endorse candidates from the pulpit. There's still debate on this one, and the Alliance Defense Fund apparently does not recommend that pulpits endorse candidates from the pulpit. Now, okay, that's what the legal eagles say. Let's get back to what the Word of God says. Dave, again, you know, lawyers, God. I think the apostle says something like, we ought to obey God rather than men, as I recall.
Yeah, as I recall.
And, yeah, yeah.
And I don't remember lawyers, one of the offices that were listed by Paul, given to the church.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, according to the Bible, there's not a lot about elections going on in the Bible. They didn't elect, you know, kings. King Herod was appointed by the emperor of Rome, Augustus, and there's not a lot of data on elections. However, you do have examples where prophets like Samuel would endorse, even anoint a king. Remember, he anointed Saul and then David, and there's also examples where priests would get involved. Remember, he really, there was a priest, I can't remember, it was Jehoiada, who backed Joash, remember, against the Queen Athaliah. So I'm trying to remember exactly what was involved there. But it's, I think, very clear that the church, the ecclesia, did get involved in the civil magistrate at points. John the Baptist and Elijah condemned the king publicly for some of his actions, his policies that were not really good. Remember, Elijah came after Ahab for confiscating Naboth's vineyard in this rather egregious act of eminent domain. Well, anyway, also in history you have examples like John Knox, who was, I think, very critical of Queen Mary, Queen of Scots. Now, there's still a separation between church and state. We acknowledge that. There's some separation. The Bible should govern this, not the ACLU and not the lawyers and nobody else. There's an example where King Uzziah was cursed with leprosy for attempting to do the priest's job. So there is a separation here. I don't think the priest ought to try to do the king's job, for example. I don't think a pastor ought to go and start hanging murderers up and down our neighborhoods in Castle Rock, Colorado, or anywhere else. I don't think that ought to happen. The civil magistrate does what the civil magistrate is supposed to do, and the church does what the church is supposed to do, all right? So there is a division here between what the church can do and what the civil magistrate can do. Nevertheless, the Bible does not prohibit the endorsement of political candidates from the pulpit, Dave.
No, it doesn't. In fact, this whole idea of separation, the distinction between the civil magistrate and the ecclesiastical jurisdiction, has been an ongoing battle now for well over 2,000 years. You see the emperor and the pope battling. Who's got what? See, there is an overlap in the jurisdiction, and at times the civil magistrate tries to usurp the authority of the ecclesiastical government, and at times the church has tried to usurp the jurisdiction of the civil magistrate. Both are wrong. Both are wrong. They're equal ministries under God's law. The church advises the civil magistrate, and it prophesies to the civil magistrate, not necessarily telling the future like a weatherman might, but in telling the word of God to them and calling them to repentance. And the civil magistrate executes, that is, they are the ministry of the sword. They execute the bad guy, those who would break God's laws in such a way that the capital crime, the punishment, or the enforcement of the mitigation of that crime needs to be done with an arm. That's the role that God has assigned. So as a pastor, you're under God, the same as the people in the Capitol building.
But I have I think the responsibility and obligation to stand up in the pulpit from time to time and take the Word of God and actually apply it to real life. I know that's sort of strange. People say, oh, you mean you got to actually preach God's Word and apply it to the way that people vote and the way people live and that kind of thing? Yeah, I think so. And the Word of God certainly brings that out. If somebody was favoring infanticide or favoring the slaughter of 6 million Jews, Dave, I think it would be appropriate for pastors to stand up and say, don't vote for Barack Obama. Don't you think it'd be appropriate if there was somebody named Barack Obama who supported infanticide or the slaughter of 6 million Jews? I think it would be appropriate for a pastor. I think it'd be an obligation of pastors everywhere to stand up and say, don't vote for the guy. That would be a violation of the law of God.
In fact, I think you could even go to the Capitol building and say, you, civil magistrate, repent for this crime and that crime. And you, congregants, let us pray as David prayed, that God would destroy the enemies, those who would cast off God's law. Let him break out his teeth. You know, we can pray that. We can preach that. In fact, I think as a minister, you're obligated to apply the Word of God in every area of life, including what happens in the election booth.
Okay, you know that somebody's going to come back and say, okay, now, did Kevin Swanson just say what I heard him say, that we ought to have our pastor stand up and say, don't vote for some evil guy? Yeah, I just said that, but what about the 501c3? You know, just read from the ADF fund lawyer assessment of the situation that if you stand up and use the word endorse, support, do not vote for, or vote for in the pulpit, you could be subjected to an investigation from the Internal Revenue Service. Well, now, okay, now what do we got here? We got Internal Revenue Service God, Internal Revenue Service God. Let's see, what was that the apostles were saying in the book of Acts, Dave, when it came down to, man versus God?
Well, it seems to me that some of the apostles did what the civil magistrate forbid. That is, they preached the gospel.
Yeah.
Some of them went to jail. And we see in history that, if you don't have that license to preach from the civil magistrate, you might just end up being imprisoned like John Bunyan. So, Kevin, I'm looking forward to your great allegory coming out in 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the best books are written in prison, my friends. But, okay. Now, here's my point about the 501c3. It seems to me that the 501c3 and state regulations on what we can and cannot do come by way of the 501c3, then we ought to just reject the 501c3. And any government official that stands up and tries to prohibit a pastor from preaching the Word of God and applying the Word of God in some of these areas, I think that's unbiblical and it's patently unconstitutional because there ought to be some freedom of speech in the pulpit in America. Don't you agree, Dave?
Well, I think, in fact, it's what it's doing is it's licensing official state churches. It says you can be classified as a state church, and you'll get the 501c3 designation, which is a tax exemption, if you're one of our favored ones. And to be one of our favored ones, you have to jump through these hoops. Well, that is, frankly, the establishment of a national religion or religions.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And I don't think the Bible has anything to say about the civil magistrate controlling the church in that way. And I'm going to say that any time you got a King Herod that tries to control what John the Baptist says concerning Herod's policies, to the point where King Herod wants to whack off John the Baptist's head, the Bible would refer to that as illegitimate and immoral. And if 501c3 or state licensing of churches subjects us to the regulatory authority of the bureaucracy, I think it's about time to jettison the 501c3, my friends. Anyway, okay, we're going to take a break in just a moment. But, Dave, in terms of what can or what should be said from the pulpit concerning politics and what should not be said, I think that there is a possible way in which somebody could say too much about politics from the pulpit to the point where government becomes something that is equated in the mind of the average person listening as a savior. And I don't think that ought to be the case. If we just get the right guys in power making the right laws and sending the bedroom police into every bedroom and regulating the use of hangers, because you know what people do with hangers in back alleys when they try to commit abortions, et cetera, so we got to regulate these hangers, we got to regulate what people do in their bedrooms, et cetera, when you got Christians thinking that politics are the ultimate solution to all of life and will save us from all the immorality that occurs in life, ladies and gentlemen, you've effectively got a Christian version of socialism. The last thing I want is to turn my congregation into a bunch of Christian socialists that think that if they could just get big government turned over to our guys, the Christian socialists, everything would be great. That, by the way, is the wrong worldview. Again, we could convey the wrong worldview by bringing politics into every other sermon every other week in our church services, and Dave, I just would not advocate that at all.
Well, we are to tell people to seek first the kingdom, not the empire. The problem is that the empire is antithetical at times to the kingdom. That is, we make it our God. And so sometimes we have to take the axe to the tree and cut down that God. We have to say that, no, God is the God. The one Elohim is in control, and the civil magistrate is subject to him. And our role as citizens is both to be honor the magistrate, but it's also to choose them in Christ.
Yes. So on the one hand, folks, you could overemphasize politics from the pulpit, and I know there are churches out there doing that. But I'd say the vast majority of churches in America refuse to preach what the Word of God has to say about the civil magistrate, as in Romans 13, Exodus 21 and 22, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot that the Word of God has to say about the electing of our leaders, like Exodus 18, verse 21. So I think these things ought to be preached from the pulpit in America, and it's because pastors are afraid to preach the law of God as it applies to abortion, property taxation, homosexuality, government regulation, the crime of murder, government-funded humanist schools, etc., etc. It's because pastors will not preach on these things that our nation is coming apart at the seams. We're losing our liberties. The family is disintegrating because of government-funded programs that are doing everything they can to rip apart this nation's godly heritage, destroy the family and our freedoms. And because pastors will not preach from the Word of God, folks, we are seeing the disintegration of our nation. And so my encouragement is, pastors, get back into the pulpit and you start preaching what God has to say about the civil magistrate and just about everything else under the sun. Well, in just a moment, we're going to talk to Kevin Lundberg, representative. Kevin Lundberg is putting together a pastor's conference here in the state of Colorado, and you need to hear what they're talking about. They're bringing David Barton to town. We're going to visit that in just a moment on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
The Generations Radio program is sponsored in part by Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Every June, we present our Christian Family Conference at the Denver Merchandise Mart, bringing together thousands of Christian families from around Colorado and the nation. This year, you will enjoy hundreds of workshops, including our Homeschooling for Excellence track, our High School track, our Mom's track, Dad's track, and Worldview track for teens. Also, for the first time, we are featuring one full day entrepreneurial boot camp for your family integrated home business. Our exhibit hall features hundreds of vendors, providing your family important resources like homeschool curriculum, wholesome books and family supplements, and life skills training. And for some wholesome family entertainment on Friday night, we have booked the Von Trapp Family Singers. Sophia, Melanie, Amanda, and Justin are the great-grandchildren of Captain Von Trapp, father of the famous singing family, whose story captivated the world in the musical The Sound of Music. This concert will also include an opening act with the Colorado Wranglers. For the best in wholesome family entertainment, homeschooling encouragement, worldview ideas, family-based economics, you need to come to this conference on June 15th through the 17th at the Denver Merchandise Mart in Denver. Call 877-842-CHECK to register now or visit our website at check.org. That's 877-842-CHECK or CHEC.org.
And welcome back to Generations, my friends. Today, talking about how important it is for pastors to get involved in the political process. Incredibly important because, hey, the way that the government goes, the way politics goes, will ultimately direct the future of this nation, of our congregants, of the way our children and grandchildren will live in years to come. So certainly pastors need to exhibit leadership in this particular area. And in Colorado here, we have an opportunity coming here in just a few weeks where we are going to have a pastor's conference at the Capitol. And with me is Representative Kevin Lundberg to speak to that. Welcome back to the program, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciate being on at any time.
You know, Kevin, it is incredibly important for pastors to get involved in the political process, and you've put this conference together to encourage that process. Why did you put this together? What was the motivation behind this?
Well, I should say there were a handful of legislators who we talked with David Barton. We were down at a conference he has for state legislators last fall, And if you ever hear David Barton, you just can't get enough of the information as to how our nation was founded on biblical principles, and our nation's government was framed around what good government is from a biblical view. And when David presents this, you say, man, we need to spread this word around. Not enough people understand. And And we asked him, would you come up to Denver and give this information out for pastors specifically down at the state capitol?
And Kevin, when is this happening? Give us some ideas on times and places.
Sooner than you think. It's happening on March 14th. And so that's just a few days away rather than a few weeks away.
Yeah.
But we're not charging pastors or their wives to attend.
And what else are you doing? Why don't you describe the event a little bit for our listeners?
All-day event. It starts roughly, we're saying, at 8 o'clock, but that just means before the session begins at 9 o'clock, we'd like people to come and to connect with their legislators, with their senator and representatives, and encourage them to let them know that they're looking over their shoulder, you might say. And then join us in the House Gallery at 9 o'clock for the beginning ceremonies for that day. We always start with a prayer, and my pastor will be giving the prayer that day, Dr. Gene Selander. And then at 10 o'clock, the other parts of the conference begin, and that will happen at the Pillar of Fire Church, just a half a block south of the Capitol. Got a nice big room that we can fit more than enough people in. And we've got David Barton from Wall Builders, Pastor Rick Scarborough with Vision America, and Joe and Franco with the Alliance Defense Fund, who will be presenting principles for good government that pastors ought to know about, and some practical issues of how churches interface with the legal environment of, 501c3 status stuff, too.
And we all know, Kevin, that if pastors don't get involved, or if other people don't get involved, inevitably we could lose our freedoms. You could lose the freedom to preach the Word of God from the pulpit. I mean, some of the hate crime legislation coming down the pike may be a threat to Christians who want to preach a gospel message from the Book of Romans, for example.
Honestly, we see legislation every year that threaten our freedoms in so many ways, and some specifically freedoms in the pulpit. You're quite right that some hate crimes legislation has been applied in some parts around the world to prevent a pastor from preaching from Romans, which seems incredible, but we are at that point in many ways. And there's a bill right now that's in the House that it's not moving any direction right now, but it would require a lot of nonprofit organizations and some church denominations to turn a blind eye to hiring somebody whether or not they're homosexual. In violation of biblical principles that churches shouldn't be held to accommodate.
Yes. Well, it's critically important to be involved in this particular battle. We know you are right smack in the middle of it here in Colorado, terribly outnumbered this particular legislative season. But hopefully more pastors will see what they can do in a positive way to stand for righteousness in the public forum. And hopefully a conference like this will inspire them to that end.
Kevin, this is an extraordinary opportunity when we say pastors, we mean senior pastors, we mean other pastoral staff members of churches, and as I said before, their spouses are also very welcome and encouraged to be there. We've invited all of the students at Denver Seminary who are future pastors, too, to come and be a part. You need to register, and you can do that online with the Colorado Family Institute that is helping us to organize all this. But it's, as they say, it's free, but it's an extraordinary opportunity that you ought to take advantage of or encourage your pastor to be a part of.
And what's the website? How do they get in contact with this conference?
It's very simple. It's cofamily.org. cofamily.org, and that'll take you directly to Colorado Family Institute, and just look over on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll say Pastor's Day, something like that. Push on that button, and it'll pop up to the registration page.
But folks, you need to register with this conference right now. Check it out at cofamily.org. And remember, this is the Pastor's Conference with David Barton from Wall Builders and also the ADF Fund, and a really critical opportunity, especially at this critical time where our freedoms and the family issues are really on the edge at this point. So let's get ourselves informed and take advantage of this opportunity. Again, the website is cofamily.org. Kevin, thank you again for joining us on Generations. And we look forward to another opportunity with you.
As always, it's great to be with you, and let's keep moving forward.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I can overstate how important it is to get involved at this point. Our faith, family, and freedom really in the balance right now, unlike any other time in the history of America. And pastors, above all, certainly we encourage fathers and mothers to get involved, but pastors, above all, ought to lead the charge. And let me encourage you to get involved with this particular event. Again, the website is cofamily.org. You can interact with this program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.